Wednesday, March 20th, 2024, 7 PM, Wasatch County Services Building, 55 South, 500 East in Heber City, Utah. We'll start with any public comments. There's someone here that's not on the agenda that would like to talk to us.
Can we come up there and just stand?
Yeah, come up here. What's your name?
My name's Jeff Finderly. I'm a real estate agent here in the Valley. Client over here, Josh Green's under contract on that huge house right below the gun range. And he's going to, wants to file probably an application for, depending on what happens here tonight, for a bed and breakfast. It's such a huge house. Has anybody been in that thing yet?
So where the Daniel Academy used to be?
Yeah.
I've never been in it.
It's 5 acres. Seven, eight bedrooms, something like that, nine bedrooms. And then their basement would be converted, half of it would be converted into a living quarters for the full-time person that has to live there. You know, do the bed and breakfast, basically. Just wanted to kind of give your thoughts on what you think about all that. I know you guys are totally against nightly rentals, you know, in the city, which I understand that. This is more of a business control type thing, I guess you might call it.
What's it zoned now?
Well, we're going through the zoning.
RA5?
Is it RA5?
No, it's actually P160, which is crazy.
Yeah, another fun thing the county did to us.
60. Yeah. 60. Can't you just like move your line over? Why don't we do that, you know?
That's what the whole.
So, but it's not, your code specifies not really what zone. It could be a new zone, you could do a bed and breakfast if it weren't for you guys. Thinking about that building, I don't know how, I don't know what else you could do with that place. It's big, unless you have. Move the building in the center or something like that. Kind of looks like that.
Playing just lived there in the house when it finished yet. So they wouldn't have to pay taxes.
That's right. So I didn't know where, if you guys had any comments on that, we'd thought. So worth pursuing, that's where we're at, basically, because it's under contract. We'll have a due diligence deadline coming up, end of the month. I know we can't have your meetings every month, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get an extension if there's an application, if it's possible. Go that route.
I don't know about anyone else. I have not looked at that code for a long time, so.
I don't.
We'd have to look at it. And so, you know, hold, I don't know if Eric has any comments.
P150 allow bed and breakfast?
So the bed and breakfast is allowed in the RA5 and commercial zones. It's not a use in the P160 zone.
So it's a zone change ultimately?
It will be either a zone change or added use.
Or what use?
Bed and breakfast.
Added use.
Added to the use.
Yeah, currently the code doesn't allow it in the P160. It's in RA5 and the commercial zone are the two zones that allow bed and breakfast.
How's your gut feeling? Off the record.
Well, it'd be nice to do something with the building.
Yeah.
Something that would work, like a good town. I don't know, we'd have a lot to look at with traffic and coming up there and how big a bed and breakfast. I'm not familiar with bed and breakfasts as much. I have to do a little research myself to what kind of, how many people are there at one time? When do they change over? I'm sure it's quite variable. So we don't have a lot of traffic.
Discuss too, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want 200 people there.
I don't, but, yeah.
Hey, Kim, are we getting our transient room and rental tax on places, or is Heber getting it because it's their zone, or is their zip code? Do we know?
Well, it's not allowed in our town, so the answer is no.
Bed and breakfasts are, but we don't have any bed and breakfast or.
Currently, yeah.
So it's Hobbs's own place?
We don't have any legal Airbnbs.
Illegal. The state's passed some laws this year to make that a little bit easier to enforce. We'll see what happens.
Okay, thank you.
So at this point, say, file an application, go from there and see what happens then. Is there any chance?
How long would a zone change take, Eric, if it were to happen?
6 months at the soonest.
And the use change would probably take that long too, by the time we had public hearings and the council had public hearings.
Yeah, we're required by state law, so that's a slow process.
Right, so looking at 6 months probably.
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah, best case.
Meeting next month, right?
Things move slowly.
Yeah, well.
Sometimes.
It's good, right? Unless you don't pay your taxes.
That's right, then it moves fast.
Josh, do you want to go center?
Can I?
Yeah, I've got 2 minutes.
More information is due.
My only question is, my understanding.
Will you state your name, please?
Oh, Josh Green. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
So same property, I'm the one trying to buy it. My understanding was it was zoned correctly in RA5 or whatever it was, and then it got changed to P1. Is that correct?
We'd have to research it.
I don't know the history of all of that.
The county, even though it was P160, the county owned it, so they split off 3 5-acre parcels, left it in the P160 zone, and that's what we inherited.
Okay.
Do you know anything other than that?
I don't. I know the county had it, and they're the ones that did the subdividing and selling of those parcels. And I know that's come up before. They wanted to know how a 5-acre parcel was allowed in the P160. Of course, that was outside of our administration at the town before we incorporated as a town, so that predates.
So now we have new things to talk about since it's now in the town of Danville.
Yeah. Okay. There's a way to reverse it, but there isn't.
But it's a whole new entity.
Yeah.
So it's at least been since 2006.
Yeah.
That has been in P160, so.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, that was P160 and the county wanted to sell it, so they just split off 5-acre parcels, ignoring their zone, so.
That's, and they didn't change the zone.
Bless their hearts.
They left us a lot of fun times.
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have anyone else?
Buddy.
This is the typical last one.
My name is Kyle Loveridge. I'm asking about I'm hoping to apply for a conditional use for next month for the property at 3400 South Big Hollow Road. I'm grateful, I guess, talking with Kim and Eric back and forth. But we talked that there's been some concern about traffic in that area, especially on that road. What we're trying to do is do an outdoor micro school on that property, which micro school, the definition of that is there's a cap on students, so 12 to 14 is the amount of students, but that would increase the traffic on that road. And I understand that's a concern specifically with that road. So I'm just hoping to kind of take the temperature a little bit, see if it's even a possibility before I go through the application process.
This property isn't here.
Turchenko's.
So they were here with some proposals a year or two ago, year and a half ago.
Right.
With
like horseback riding, yeah,
or something.
So I don't want to speak on her behalf. I spoke with her today, and I'll just relay what she, you know, what she told me, that she's okay with letting that conditional use lapse. I think it's expired, or it's close to being expired. And this would be in its stead. But I think with that conditional use,
sewer would have to be upgraded.
And what is it zoned now?
Yeah. RA5.
RA5.
It's RA5.
They're on about 10 acres.
Yeah.
This is 10 acres.
It would have to check on the sewer.
So we actually wouldn't be impacting the sewer, that we would, it would basically be, it's not that house, but it basically would be an RV sewage, like removable RV sewage that we would remove each week and empty ourselves, just like an RV. So there wouldn't be impact there, we wouldn't be building any buildings. In conversations, the traffic was kind of the biggest deal. And my question today is there a way you calculate how much traffic you would allow down that road, or is it more opinion-based?
I don't know, at least, speaking for myself, I live on that road.
Sure.
I don't see huge impact from 12 to 15 students. You know, if it was 100, yeah.
Right. It's only 4 days a week.
So as long as there's a place to, for them to pull off the road to load them on, so that we don't have a traffic backup on the road. Like happens down in Charleston by the Slater Hall School, there's times when that road's totally blocked.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that was definitely part of the discussion before, and so she had to create an area where clients could pull off and actually park on her property.
So there's property, there's an area by that rail pin.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, so sure. And there's ways we can mitigate that as well, that all the students aren't arriving at the same time. We can stagger them by half hour and things like that, so there's not congestion. But
what's the, it's a school that does what?
Yeah, so I mean, technically it's a private outdoor micro school, private being so that we can qualify for the new grants that have come out. I don't know if you've heard about the Utah Fits All bill that just got passed. It's allowing about 10,000 scholarships for, it starts with lower income families, but gives them school choice. So it'll give them like an $8,000 voucher to go find a private school instead of the public school system. So we want to qualify for that to catch those types of students.
And this is outdoor?
Outdoor, so being outdoor as much as possible. They do have a greenhouse on site that on, you know, extremely cold days and things like that, we can shelter there. With heat, but outdoors as much as possible.
So it's an all day, 6 hour?
It's a replacement. I mean, it's, when you have the ratio of one teacher to six students, it's amazing, like you don't need 5 days a week, 6 hours a day to get through the curriculum. So you can be much more effective in teaching and getting through that. And so a lot of it, yeah, through that curriculum and replacement, you know, for school, but a lot of it is parents just want their kids outside. They want their kids in the dirt. They want their kids having that experience that we're losing.
And there's no other buildings on the side other than the greenhouse? I don't know what
the side is. There's a
bar.
I don't know where it's at.
Yeah.
The issue might be is that greenhouse is an agricultural building, which is not allowed for human occupancy.
I understand.
So
don't shelter in there very often.
So there's the fence area that for our purposes, that's where the school is, but that is where the greenhouse is. And I believe there's also another structure there as well that we're not planning to use. There's other options for shelter that wouldn't be the greenhouse that we would explore, but it would basically be a hunting tent, you know, like a big canvas tent with a heat source in there that would allow for shelter on those cold
like days. A yurt?
No, it wouldn't be. There would be no foundation. It would just be like a big wall tent that could be used in those days.
Yeah, I don't see a kid outside from October 31st to March 31st.
You know, so we lived in North Pole, Alaska for a while, and that's kind of where this idea came from. And those kids are out there and when they do 15, 20, and
bundle up.
Yeah, you know, it's more about the gear you wear. Also, schedule-wise, being a private school, you can alter your, you know, you can shorten your summer vacation and move some of that to the harshest winter months. That can be adjusted as well. So I thought traffic would be the biggest obstacle. Do you guys see any bigger obstacles than that, or do you feel like this is worth putting in an application for?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to look at the details, but yeah. Definitely, you know, we'd put an application in.
It's worth a shot.
That would be a public hearing, correct?
No.
No public hearing?
Yeah, administratively, this will fall under a conditional use. So we wouldn't issue two conditional uses on the same property. We would make the one go away, incorporate the, if it was a closed use, it would be a new conditional use with those conditions that have been identified. So you go back through the public hearings and basically reissue a conditional use permit.
So everybody within, what's the diameter or radius?
500 feet.
500.
Everybody within 500 feet would get a letter. And then, of course, it would be ran in the paper for the public hearing.
So you're a couple months out at least.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just that get it in for next month. You're saying it's...
Well, we would hold the hearing next month.
Oh, I understand.
Actually, you want to...
Actually, you'd want 2 months before you hold the hearing.
We would put it on the agenda for next month and then hold the hearing to fall, so 2 months.
Set the hearing next month and then hold the hearing after.
Yeah, next week would be to review the application.
Yeah.
And decide whether to have the public hearing.
Okay.
And it needs to be in by the first at the very latest.
Right.
And then, of course, we'd have to have the charging goes a letter saying that they want to...
With that intent, really wish...
Give up their old one.
Okay. Anything else?
Cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? All right, let's move to item two, which is appeal application for zone change. Is there anyone here that would like to speak to that?
I sure can. Cal Johnson, Legend Engineering, hoping the keels out with this rezone. I think this is another one that the county kind of gave you a tricky situation. So it's at 2530 South Daniels Road, and it's one of the ones where the zone line between industrial and RA5 kind of splits right down the middle of the property. And Scott before had looked at, you know, just doing a driveway access back to the industrial part, basically leaving the zoning the way it is. But per the code, a separate driveway to the parcel in the back couldn't be done. So the next step to try to make that piece of property useful is to approach the commission about doing a zone change and making the entire property industrial so that that back piece can be used. So we wanted to approach the commission, discuss this item, answer the questions that you all may have, and see how we can move forward with this one.
This existing house is the brown house, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And what's the total property?
Just shy of 5 acres.
Including the industrial?
Correct. Right, so it's almost 50-50, like 2.5, 2.5.
Where the line, the magic line is now. So 2.5 and 2.5.
Just fine.
Okay, does anyone have any questions?
I approached Eric about this right after Christmas, saying I'd like to keep the house. Everybody's trying to, I'm getting phone calls galore, everybody's trying to buy the place. And Eric said, well, and I said, I'd like to break these off into two parcels because they're two different industrial and RA. And Eric's like, well, you can't drive through RA1 to get to industrial. He says, but this, maybe what you could do is you'd have to tear the house down and turn it all into industrial.
Yeah, there's a couple of issues you can't...
So if the house goes, then it could be done.
What's it? Concrete. So the front zoned RA5-1, 2.5.
Residential.
Yeah, RA2.
Residential.
As it were.
Okay. And the back's industrial.
Yep.
But I think it's not the 2.5, 2.5. It's like an acre.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the house is like on an acre, and the rest is industrial.
Yep. Yeah, I thought it was the front piece was an acre, and then there's another acre and some change that's residential. And then
this is the part of the flat down. It's like 3 more.
Yeah,
industrial.
And it's all being surrounded by nothing but industrial.
On the backside here.
Yeah. Ashenberg, eventually all the north side too. Coleman's building, yeah.
Why doesn't the road, the secondary access work?
Because you can't have access to industrial through residential.
Or if you replotted the...
Well, it's not RA1, it's RA5.
RA5, sorry.
You replot...
Even though it's not 5.
Half of it?
It's RA5, but it's not even 5, so...
Yeah.
Well, it's not the only one in this.
We have, this is not our first battle.
Can you replot the front lot, so you got a flag stick option to get to the back one?
I don't know what our options are other than...
What are you gonna have for Eric, side yard for a regular road to go back to?
So 60 feet.
And I got over 100, I think.
But then you're taking an already non-existing, non-conforming lot and making it even smaller, I guess would be a concern with that. I don't think we generally allow that to happen, would be one of my concerns with flagging that now.
And we're doing industrial on top of residential, which is this lot.
I guess one of my concerns with going all industrial would be is we're gonna just add more traffic and access along Daniel Road there and turn it into more traffic and heavier traffic than what...
That's borderline Daniel, I mean, you're right at the line, you're right at the line.
It's Daniel. I mean, the beautiful part of what we've already seen with a lot of the Coleman stuff that went through there is they're primarily accessing it not through the city, through Daniel, right? I mean, they're having to deal with Heber City, and if we start changing and putting a lot of industrial zone right along Daniel Road, we're gonna...
Be a good value for you though?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I think the considerations that we have to go through as we decide whether or not it makes sense to change is, does it kind of meet the objectives of the town, which is generally to keep a rural fill. To me, adding more industrial doesn't add to a rural fill, you're always balancing that with, clearly we have to pay the bills. So that's the trade-off.
If you did that, you guys could oversee what's gonna go in there, you know, if it was all tore down and new.
To a degree.
You still can do it.
We're still, yeah, it's still gonna be industrial, whatever's allowed there, we're not able to say we want this and not that, but...
I think what concerns me is property rights, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm not trying to be rude or whatever, but you knew what it was when you bought it, right?
Yeah.
And the neighbor to the south of you and the neighbor to the north of you knew what their zoning was, and they've been there a while, I get that. But if someone were to have purchased that property knowing that they're in an RA5 zone...
It's not 5 acres.
And it doesn't matter, but it's a non-conforming lot, right? And so they can purchase the properties on either side of you with some semblance of confidence that this is the zone, and so I'm not going to have a cement plant between these two houses or any other industrial use, right? And so people in good faith look and say, this is where I want to put my money, is to purchase this property because of what is allowed around me, and more importantly, what is not allowed around me. And so when we create an industrial zone in a residential area, even though the majority of the property is already there, then I'm kind of crapping on the people north and south and saying, when we go industrial, that takes the lid off and basically opens it up to a whole bunch of noise and dust and traffic and whatever else.
That's all they're getting now.
And it might be the case, and nothing may ever change. But I'm just saying, if I were the property owner next door, I would have purchased that property with this zoning, and so when somebody goes and changes that and creates some semblance of a island right there, that kind of craps on my property rights and my good faith in where I've invested.
Isn't all the property back there all industrial though, back of Dan Brown and all that?
Yeah.
He's got a piece of property that's less usable, we're trying to go out of the right way.
Right, I get that.
That's when you regulate your zones, your home surface, there is no dust.
I get that, but I can't control what goes in there, right, once it's industrial.
So our process is to schedule and hold a public hearing where everyone in the neighborhood can comment, you know, notify everyone within 500 feet. We'll hold a public hearing if.
Only people to the north of me is about 300 cats, because Vernon don't live there. Why do you Vernon's house?
Okay, anyway, those will go out. We'll hold a public hearing.
Gross.
And then this group makes a recommendation to the council. Council will hold another public hearing, and the council is who makes the final decision on this. So that's the process that we'll follow, and I guess I would like to hear a motion for, to set a public hearing for this.
I would make a motion that we set a public hearing for our next meeting, which is what date? April 16th.
I don't have my phone.
Let's see, it is April 17th.
For April 17th to address the Keel application for zoning change for the parcel on Daniel Road. Whatever that address is.
2530 South Daniel.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Mine is more of a question. Can we do a conditional use permit on these kinds of things?
Can you do a?
Can we do a conditional use instead of changing the zoning?
For a driveway? No. No, it definitely specifies it will not be.
I have to review all that. I need to do that.
Okay, anything else?
That's mine.
Okay, call for the vote.
You can't cut it off. I mean, you can't, it's like if someone from the rear wanted to buy out the industrial, you can't cut off the house. You can't do that either.
No.
No, because then it would reduce your. You're already non-conforming law to even less.
The less conforming.
There's definitely code on that that says you can't do that stuff.
Okay, call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Again, yes. Horner, yes.
Banker, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay, motion carries. We'll schedule a public hearing for this meeting on April 7th.
7th.
At 7th, yeah.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. And we appreciate you going through the process.
Yeah, thank you. If you have any ideas on how we can get back to that industrial piece.
I gotta look at it.
We gotta do something.
You gotta do something.
We gotta do something with all that area.
That whole piece.
There's gonna be this same issue.
Because it's been that way for.
Since.
Somebody's gonna buy out.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's gonna buy out Marcia eventually, and they're gonna be in here doing the same thing.
Does yours touch the Coleman's ground? Does it connect? So is there, have you had discussions of accessing through their ground with them?
Through the cement plant?
Through, yeah, I haven't been in their cement plant to know if there's an access way that would work or not.
Cement plant has touched the doctor's field.
Five star, it is nice.
It was?
Nice.
Yeah, they've done a nice job.
Touches the doctor's field, no. You can't come from a cement plant. You can come from Scott's, but what can we from Scott's?
Which is the cement plant.
But you couldn't come through off of whatever that road is there, off of Airport Road? That doesn't, wouldn't give you an access point there?
Well, you'd have to get permission from Scott. You'd have to go to Scott's.
Yeah, you're right. We need to address it and try to come up with some great ideas on.
Well, and I think it'd be good to do some homework and look at those plots and the zoning back there and access and.
All those things, because like you said.
We need to figure out for.
You're the first, well, you're not the first, but this has been concerned for a while.
Yeah.
So ideas of other places have had these issues.
I just look at the Huntsville problem you guys did there. And it's where we're at, because a lot more industrial. Anything you do is package all on Huntsville.
Well, it's Huntsville's.
Which one's that?
The road job deal. We put all the buildings, Russ Webb.
Yeah.
Armstrong's piece.
Oh.
This makes a lot more sense than that.
And he's got four, five buildings in there.
And that's not what we're looking to do.
But you could sell it.
We just want accessibility.
I understand. Yeah, we understand that.
We're not looking to sell it.
And Jeremy, we need to figure out how to fix that.
We do. So, you know, we're open to ideas on how to fix it. What other cities or towns have had We're not the first.
Get the guy at the end of the table here to put on his thinking cap.
It's on.
There's your board.
But we need ideas.
Yeah.
We agree something needs to be done, but we're at a loss of what that looks like for the town and for you guys.
Each property owner wants to do or how they want to handle it, and so we need that public input. And hopefully the public.
Nobody to the north of me, this.
The cats.
Huh?
There's nobody living there?
The Vernon House?
That's.
This is the.
That's terrible.
That's beyond.
I don't think you could live in that house.
Eric? Pretty bad.
What's that?
Vernon's? I don't know, she's living with her son.
No, she's, I've been trying.
She's out in the basin with her daughter.
They come by once a week, feed the cats, and about 40 cats run all over the place. And then the other house is empty because Coleman, they don't live there no more, and then it's RJ, or is it RJ or?
They got the Lukes.
There's a few houses.
They got the Lukes.
That's all Beaver City then, right?
Both the Lukes and.
There's a few more houses.
Try to come up with some great ideas.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, that was easy answer.
Well, I didn't think we'd have one.
I know.
We gotta do something.
There's nothing easy about this whole area, thank you.
Okay, let's move to item number three, which is Val. Val?
Thank you, guys.
See you next week, or next month.
And I believe that code change text is in the packet, is it not?
It is.
Yes.
So once again, we need to do some research on that.
And it says zone change, but it's actually code change, and that's just because there wasn't a.
No, it says code change on here.
If you look at the application.
Oh, on the application.
It's checking, but we understood what it was. It just, there was no, like, space for code change, so.
Okay.
Nephi Trunell. Previous meeting, I don't know if you understand, so my building's on, right there on Highway 40, where it's cornered up to a little speeding, a new commercial building. So my desire is to have as far as I understand, the town of Daniel does not have any, a code for condominiumizing, doing a commercial condominiumization. Say that five times fast.
Yeah, good luck.
So that's what I'm proposing. And in the paperwork, we put in kind of some limitations to where I understand the town of Daniel's trying to keep it, a rural community. There's pretty limited commercial property in Daniel's. And so trying to keep that to where, a big building with 400 units doesn't come in and just, and so in here we proposed having like 16 units. I mean, I'm looking at what my project is, what would be accessible or what would work for me. And of course, every project's different. So we proposed having a 2,500 square foot limit to this, and having like a 16 unit limit. And again, that's just my project. So we're, to that would limit some, big, huge building coming in and just kind of minimizing everything. So anyways, that's just a suggestion. So I want to get some feedback on what you had thought, what you guys would think, what would work for the town of Daniels as far as size and how many you could actually condominiumize.
You haven't split your building up at all yet?
No.
Inside, you're just a shell right now?
Yeah, it's just a shell. So we just got wrapped up. We just got our final inspection done with Dave Thacker this morning. And so what I'm finding out is I'm having some struggles with small businesses coming in, because as I mentioned in our last meeting, prices of construction and taxing and whatnot, it's pretty high to lease a building. And so this will enable a small business to be able to buy into a property and not have a long-term lease that they can't afford. And so It's limiting me to, I've had numerous businesses come out and just like, hey, it's just too expensive, you know, and so this would, free up some options for me to be able to occupy the building. So otherwise, I'm struggling, to be honest, to get that thing occupied, so.
So I haven't been out there to see the building.
Well, come on out.
I will now. So you're thinking maybe of making condominium, something inside that structure?
Well, I built it to have, so it's two level, but on the main level is just, so I built it with seven bays there. And so each bay is about, 3,000. There's a couple with stairwells in it, so they're about 3,000, but they're about 3,000 to 3,400 square foot each bay. So
I went and pulled Heber City's code just to try and get a sense for what it is that they look at.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure out what we would
be concerned with.
I know Heber City's done it on a few, and it's out there. I mean, a big thing that they go through is their utility stuff, mm-hmm. where each unit basically has to have its own access to utilities, separate meters, separate shutoffs, so that all of that is segregated. So they're all.
Each one has their gas meter, each one has their water meter. Water meter is not water meter. They wouldn't let me do that. So there's one water meter, and you can actually meter each one as it comes into the building if you need to. But they have gas and electric are the main ones that are segregated for each unit. And so, okay. And sewer, obviously, you don't want 18 lines running.
So you've got it set up right now with like a triple net lease building.
Yeah, so I built it so I could do this if I needed to.
Mike, another question I had the same utility question, but parking. Mm-hmm. What are our parking requirements code-wise?
So he met the parking requirements matrix that we have in our code.
Based on
what type
square
of the building?
Footage.
Based on the square footage of and the use.
Do we have in that code, because if I've got a retail store versus a doctor's office versus a whatever, the demands of those
change,
right?
Right.
And so how do we regulate that building might not meet parking requirements based on
what goes into
each
a different use.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's hard to tell because you don't know what right going to go in there. But
does our code speak to that level of use if it's a like a retail space versus a warehouse type?
It does. Our parking matrix goes through those.
Yeah. So this qualified under more of a warehouse style.
Yeah, and if you look at it today, if he didn't build his second and third phase, I mean, he's got
there's
a ton of parking
space there,
but
for sure.
It would probably come into play when they put in second and third phase. So, in the first phase, I don't think you'd even brush up against any of the parking matrix requirements. It wouldn't even be close to the matrix.
Sure.
But that could then impact his ability to build phase two or three.
Yes.
And I know, at least when I went through this, I built one in Heber City, mm-hmm. where we had to go through and we had to justify what our use was. I had to limit my occupancy in my building to say, this is the max I'm going to do because this is the load, and I can only find 25 parking stalls. And I really, my building size would have said I could do more, but I had to cap it. I'll never have more than 50 people in the building because of that. So I think that might be some of the things that might run into play here.
Do we know, is it for a business like has to have so many stalls? Is there a requirement to that?
Yeah, our parking matrix in our code says how many you have to have per the use.
So if there was, if I have 60 stalls right now just for that building, because I have up against the building, I have on the east side, that's all parking, that's bordering Lindsay's property right there, and then also on the back, I can have some parking stalls there. And so, I have 60 plus just for that one building.
Yeah.
So do you guys know how many? So if I have seven businesses in that building, well, actually eight, because there'd be one upstairs as a separate one. Do we know, or do you guys know how many, to divide?
Depends on what they're doing.
Depends on the use.
Who's in there. So if there's the doctor in unit A, and there's a...
And also, yeah, because it would...
A grocery store in B, and a smoke shop in C.
So I think you would just have to have one pot of what you have for parking, and you're going to have to divvy that up in an allocation based off of everyone's, you know, this is all you can do, and that might change.
Yeah.
Whether or not we approve a business license for a building.
I see.
A use in there, I would think of, no, if you put this in, you're going to blow past your parking allocation, and so it doesn't qualify. But those are considerations, well down the path.
Something in our code that says, that's the condominium owners association.
Yeah.
That has to deal with that.
Yeah, not us.
As a...
Here's your block.
This is the block, you have to deal with the town with the block, and you have to meet those requirements. But divvying up the parking spaces, I don't think the town wants to be in the middle of that.
And I know Heber City doesn't get in the middle of that. That new one that's going in just south of Airport Road on the highway, that I think it's your family somehow.
Brother, yeah, he's...
That's what they have, is they have a set number, and that HOA is allocating it per unit to say...
Which makes sense.
You buy unit one, you're going to get a guaranteed four. There's maybe six more we could allocate to you, but you got to prove to us that you need it. Otherwise, they're going to save them, and they're going to allocate it to a heavy user down the road.
I see, yeah.
So they're handling it themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the route that we would want to see, so that it doesn't become our problem, but it becomes your problem. But if it's worthwhile, then you'll deal with the problem, right?
That makes sense.
So the good news is, ours requires more parking spaces than Heber City's.
So we've probably got a lot.
So we've had several engineers tell us that that's too much, we're above the state of Utah standards. And so our answer to them is, show us where there's too much parking.
Yeah.
We'll look at it.
Yeah, we're okay.
So far, we're doing okay.
And it's not like we have a side street for overflow.
Right, even with the church that was built on Daniel Road, we required more parking spaces than what they would allocate for a church. So.
Gotcha.
And it still fills up.
You guys still going to church? You guys filling up those parking spots at the church?
Well, if you drive through and they're all full, you just keep driving.
Day four.
Get the day off.
Sorry, dear, they're all full today. But that makes sense to have an HOA handle. And so that's, and another issue as Eric brought up is a point of contact. If there is a problem with something, where there is a one point of contact, there's an HOA president, there's one point of contact that would, that the city...
Which I read in somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So are we ready for a motion?
No, are we ready? Would someone like to make a motion?
I'm ready.
I want to go to bed. You are getting old, Kip.
You have no idea. I'll make a motion that we set a public hearing for the canal application to...
Date?
Don't change.
Okay.
Yeah, a date for the board change.
No, the date for the public hearing.
The date for the public hearing.
April 17th.
April 17th.
That's what I said, you guys don't listen.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Who seconded?
Byron.
Call for the vote.
Can I discuss?
Yes.
You can.
Sorry.
No.
Do we need to have the code that we know we want before we vote on the public hearing, or are we okay with just a public hearing for the idea of what we're doing and fine-tune specific words, or maybe Eric's going to fine-tune every word he wants in between now and then?
Well, this is, I mean, what Nephi's put in here is really tailored to his situation.
I know.
So what?
I don't think that's exactly what we want.
Right, so what you're going to have to do is look at that and say, maybe 25's too big, you want to lower that down.
Yeah.
What works for the town, what's your vision, what equals your general plan, your land use plan, what are we looking at in those areas that are commercial corridors along the highway? I mean, that's something you'll have to look at, is what fits in the town.
Understood. Do we need to have that for the public hearing before, or I don't know what's required, I guess, in terms of, we give notice to the public, we're going to look at changing it, but we don't tell them it's this, or it's this, or it's this, because we don't know exactly what it is yet. I just don't know if we're getting too far ahead of ourselves with public hearing yet, or if we need to, you know.
Well, you really do want the public input before you look into the code and narrow that down. So you want to start broad and then work that down to what you need in the code.
Will we need another public hearing to then say this is the exact code we're going to do?
No, the second public hearing will be at the
Council, and they'll have a specific code for that at that point.
It'll come with a recommendation from this board, and that will be the one where you'll be able to look at each word on that.
Okay, that makes sense. Sorry, just trying to make sure I understand efficient ways to do this.
So take what the public tells us or what they'd like to see, what we've learned and different ideas, and then.
We're either going to recommend it or we're going to throw it out, and this way we can tailor it to what.
Okay, okay. I'm good. Thank you for indulging me. Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Sanger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Okay, motion carries.
So I come to the next on the 17th. And then what happens? That's just public.
It's going to go in the paper, so it'll be noticed in the paper. And then every property owner within 500 feet will receive a letter inviting them to come and provide comments where they.
Actually, that's not going to happen, Kim. This is a code change.
Code.
It's not to his property. This is the entire town in the code.
Okay, so it just has to go in the paper?
Right.
Okay. We'll run it in the paper 2 weeks.
Okay, all right. See you on the 17th.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Brian, for the great.
Yep. Hey, make sure, I think all you got to do is cut 3 nodes.
So right there, that's a low, right?
Those little bulbs are nodes.
Thanks for right on it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So keep 3 of them.
Sorry, some gardening tips here.
So there's one, 2, 3.
Okay, so right below it.
That end has to go in the dirt. This should be the top of the next.
I'm going to make a change if it's not in there next month.
He's going to go there. Just kidding.
Put a winery in there.
Put the second floor, that's what's going in.
Yeah, okay.
And then pull them out, put them in pots.
Easier to go to his house and pick up the grapes, dude.
I know. I called and texted him. I'm like, my wife's like, go ahead, got to get off. And I'm like, Brian, just bring it to the meeting.
Okay, let's move to item 4, the business license. We have one renewal, which is Sweat Auto. We had any complaints or comments?
No complaints.
Where are they located?
3,000 South.
3,000 South.
Right.
Across from me, next door to Eber.
Right across from you.
It's hard to say.
You can call me that.
He's been called.
I just won't let my wife call me that.
Yeah, she calls him a lot worse.
She's come up with some good ones recently.
Make a motion that we approve this.
Yeah, I'd make a motion we approve that one.
Okay. You're done commenting?
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Wild, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Sanger, yes. For that one.
Skinner, yes. No complaints, I guess.
That's good. You gotta keep it light, you guys.
Okay, let's move to the planner report.
So for some reason, you guys ended up with January's.
Oh my gosh, did I do that again? I'm sorry.
I was gonna call you, I thought I'd just fix it.
Oh my gosh.
I thought I'd just fix it.
The printer hates me, like it literally hates me.
Yeah, that's January's.
Why would it on the printer?
Oh, okay, does it have a date on it? Oh yeah, 1/1/2024. The 2, this is me.
Do you want a copy anyway?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, while you're looking over that, I'm gonna hand out the code to amend. The code to amend the code. So this is our administrative procedures to do what we were just talking about with Nephi. This is
our training.
This is our training.
Just in the nick of time.
There will be more training to follow, though.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
You bet. Just helping you guys get to the end product. Okay, do you have any questions on the planning report for me?
Is the Bob Probst agricultural permit a barn?
It is a barn. He was actually moving the one off of Midway Lane over, so.
Where's the property at? Bob Probst.
It's the old church.
Beth Cooler.
It's the old church.
Oh, yeah.
Across from you.
Old Beth. Okay. It's behind me.
Yeah.
I have to Have to look who's asking that question to how I say that. Beth Cooler's house.
How far back can you go?
Yeah. How far back do they go? So you can.
Yeah. Well, we do that all the time, and I'm like, I don't know who these people even are. Come on, guys.
The old church property.
Yes. I well, it's fine.
Which then became the school property. Which
so you can see we issued a couple of COs on there, so we do have things moving.
Yay.
I also will hand out this. Highway 40 properties, which are not, we're not talking, discussing tonight, but they are moving ahead. And this was just sent to me today regarding the punch list items.
The what items?
The punch list items.
Oh, punch list.
Before we issue that permit. So you guys made the motion to approve once those items were done. This is what they're down to. Okay. Just to bring up to speed where that's at. So we're waiting till all these items get passed off.
This was the Mark Harrelson property.
Mark Harrelson property, right. And so the UDOT permit, one of the big ones was, it's been over a year, so that permit has expired on the highway. So
that'll be fun.
Men Love Construction got this sent to them today, so they're aware of the same thing.
This down on the corner.
This one's out on the highway next to Ed Houston. Yeah. Any other questions on planning report?
Everybody good?
Good. Yep.
That need to touch on anything else, Gary? Is that good?
No, other than we do have the town has, I think, $127,000 of ARPA money to spend. So the council will be making a decision on their April meeting. Can't be spent on raises, so.
Here's what Mary handed out at the council meeting.
Yes.
It's very structured on what it can be spent.
What it can be spent on. So we don't really, I don't really want to discuss it in this meeting, but if you have an opinion, you're welcome to go to a council meeting.
Suggest
or
what you want to spend.
Call or text a council member, the mayor, or you know, whatever you'd like to do.
Sure. Yeah, if you guys send an email out, then we'll be able to get those items on the list as we.
Because there is a limit, December 31st of this year, that's got to be chosen or spent. I can't remember.
Well, it's got to be chosen,
in April.
Allocated, and then we can't move it after that. So that's what we're brushing up against, is that April deadline. So what we was doing was trying to hold these funds and use them for our money for our portion of a grant.
Yeah.
They require us to have a 20% or whatever the percentage is. We was hoping to use these funds for that. The grant process is coming slower than we anticipated, so it looks like we're going to have to allocate these
before
that happens. So we've been working.
That was the grant for the water up at
the lead and copper.
We have lead and copper grant out. We have a water system and a tank grant out. We have like four or five out, and nothing's coming back. Everything's fairly dried up. So we think we'll be successful on the lead and copper. But that funding there, I don't think we'll have to get 20%. But we'll see what it comes back as. But anyway, we'll be looking at allocating these funds.
If we guess wrong, then it's just gone.
Well, as long as we got it allocated, we'll be able to spend it.
But you got to allocate it first.
Yeah.
So we'll have to then find a project for 50 grand if that's what we allocate it to, even if we decide we want to go somewhere else with it.
And so, like the lead and copper, some of the folks will have to replace their lines beyond the meter. This grant allows the town to use some of this money to help those people replace the
private side of the line.
Right. So they can apply to the town, and we can use some of these funds to help some of those folks that don't have the resources and help them get that paid for.
But we can't say it's allocated to that and then use it for road infrastructure.
A new bridge or something, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be super specific, but it has to be specific enough.
We just want to make sure we don't over-allocate to something that we don't really have a need to spend that much money on.
Exactly.
And it's just, that's our problem, it's not enough to do a project.
Yeah. So if we don't get a grant for something else and we've allocated it to this spot, then it's like, we may not be able to use it because we can't do a tenth of a project or something.
But we just wanted to make you aware of that so that you can.
And Mary's the one that has been in charge of that, and she knows, she's done all the training, so if you have any specific questions, it would be worth it to email or give her a call.
All you gotta do is Google that, and it'll come up with the list and all the, I mean, it's pages and pages of documents. Yeah, I've read a ton of those, so.
And then the exceptions to the first rules have been.
Well, they've changed their parameters like three different times too. Like, they've expanded it and they extended the dates and whatnot. So that was really nice of her to stay on top of that.
Does anyone have anything else for Eric?
Thanks, Eric. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's move to item six, which we do not have anyone here from engineering because there was nothing that they needed to discuss, so we'll skip that. And go to item number seven.
And I apologize, I had to take, the printer literally would not scan this in. I had to go over to the UPS store and I didn't realize that this was still sitting on the printer when I scanned it in until I was making copies this afternoon.
Does everyone have a chance to look at the minutes?
I'd make a motion to approve the minutes from February 21st meeting.
Okay, is there a second?
Your turn. I'll second.
All right, is there any discussion? Okay, call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Again, abstain.
Horner, yes.
Banger, yes.
You
know, you can go back and listen to the table.
Thanks for making that note, though.
Please be have fun.
How many of you want to go home and how many of you want to avoid home and stick around for another hour or two? You want to avoid home.
Okay. I'm going home.
So, if you could take a look at the condominium code and also industrial properties and just kind of get a feel for the layout.
The condominium code that you're talking about is the one that came through on our packet for today, right?
That's a suggestion.
Yes.
But there could be things added or taken away. Yeah. And so it would be good to at least have some ideas there.
And if you want to look at the counties, it's 1610. If you want to look at
that's
the
Heber cities. If you want to look at what they did.
For condominium project.
Yeah, you can have that.
In a commercial area.
In a commercial area.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to scan that in and send that out to everybody?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm kind of more interested in what we can help with this industrial and art. Well, I mean, we need some ideas here.
That's another idea. I mean, we'll talk about that in the public hearing, but do you want access into that industrial area? Are you ready to develop that? If so, this parcel is probably a key factor in accessing that industrial area clear to Southfield Road.
And is that the place to access the industrial area?
Right, so these are all things that, you know.
Sure.
Our water, our 20-year water plan shows a water line going down, which is halfway down, went to CMC, but it shows it going all the way Southfield Road and connecting in a loop. And so those things you have to look at too.
Right.
Did I hear rumor of a second cement plant?
So we have people call every week. So Geneva Rock right now is looking at that area.
Would they donate a driveway through the?
I don't know. We tried to annex some of that property. If you remember, a couple of years ago, we tried to annex some of that, and the Erickson piece and a few of those, they didn't want any.
Anything?
There was no interest in it at that time. So we had that drafted, ready to go, and there was no interest, so they just let it draw up. But we have, there's that, it's a, that island that's county in the middle, Heber City on one side, us on the other side. And state law really wants you to get rid of those islands so there's not duplication of services. And so the law favors those being pulled in one municipality or another.
Is it a good idea that we take a field trip as a commission and go walk or drive those parcels and take a look where we're together? And I guess that would have to be a public meeting.
Say without access, that's kind of hard to do without trespassing.
Yeah.
Scott,
I'll bet Scott would let us walk
through this. Scott would let us back there.
Well, yeah, we can get permission.
Yeah. Well, the town does have a right of way down the side of his property.
We're checking the water line.
That's right.
Checking
the water line. But also, you can get online on the county maps and look at the parcels and where things are, and then also perhaps look at the airport expansion plans. I'm not sure if that affects that area.
And didn't the FAA buy all that in ground that was, we were discussing a...
Not yet, the first house sign's still on it. I hear it's in negotiations, but I don't have
it. Van Wagner's piece?
No, Harry Wyant.
Pardon?
Harry Wyant's on the corner of the old, the old Ellis piece.
Yeah. Sean DeShaft knows all
that. Yeah, we changed it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I jumped on.
Ellis is in Sean's.
I think it's important, though, to really look at what uses are allowed in the industrial zone, because I didn't realize until I started here that you actually have to have a place where you can have sexually oriented businesses. And guess where that is? In the industrial zone. So there, you know, if that ends up happening.
Well, industrial tends to be very noisy.
I know, but I'm just saying that there are things you don't even think about. So that's why I gave you the commercial one too, just so you could compare the two.
Yeah,
he was telling. Isn't wouldn't that
just a little extra income on the side?
Okay. Wouldn't that be located right across from where everybody accesses the school? So wouldn't you have a huge turn into the industrial park in the same spot where you've got cars trying to make it to the elementary school off of Daniels Road?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just nobody, but that seems like that's a problem.
Right. And
in the future, because you can't control what's going to happen there.
And so I'm just asking, take a look at it. You know, county maps, Google Earth, get familiar with it, and then we'll hear what the public wants.
Sure.
Pretty sure this will be an interesting public hearing.
Have any of the other property owners along Daniel Road there ever tried to zone change that way?
Well, this called Scott. He'll let us down there.
They have not.
Darlene Luke has a conditional use for the backside of her property, and they store it's right next to the rock.
But it's access from the river.
And so they just
store. Oh, yeah, RJ's there. Stuff that he's leasing from him or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the only one, and they completely access it from there.
From that side, yeah.
Exactly.
So how many, I haven't looked, four properties there with houses in front, one where the cats live, I guess.
There's more than that.
There's a lot.
There's more.
Yeah, there's more, I'll have to look, that have this issue.
Five to ten or so.
Yeah. Well, and that was, I mean, originally, I came in on, in 2000, started with the planning department, and they wanted that, that buffer along Daniel Road. Mm-hmm. They didn't want that coming out onto Daniel Road. Back then, there was just, that was just the line.
They didn't want industrial coming out.
Well, they didn't want the industrial up on Daniel Road.
Okay.
Now, Heber City, I've been to their public hearings when they brought their industrial right to Daniel Road. And they said that that's, in their eyes, that is the best buffer you can have is a road. That you shouldn't have residential backing up to industrial, that that road should separate it. So that's why in Heber City, on the Heber City side, it comes clear to the road.
Okay.
So
complicated.
We were fighting a lot of things back then, though.
Yes, we were. More things today.
Okay. Accept a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Call for vote.
Quad, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Porter, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Great meeting.
Thanks, everybody.